The solemnity of the Immaculate Conception actually got its start at the a feast in the 8th century called the Conception of Saint Anne. And that's Joachim and Anne were the names given to Mary's parents. In the early church, until the church was legalized by Constantine, the church was mainly focusing on the attributes of Christ. In what sense was he fully God and fully human? And that consumed most of the theological attention in the Trinity. And as we move past that era, people began to look more and more at how is it possible that God could take on human flesh? You know, even today, it's something that is it's hard to grasp. Almighty God, who cannot be seen, who's bigger than the whole universe itself, is just a small portion of God's creation. And yet God is outside of all of that. Yet he entered into time and space to become a human being, which we're rushing toward at Christmas. The main question that people had was, how can God take on flesh, which by its very nature tends towards sin? We call that original sin. That's the story of Adam and Eve. And it's also the story of all of our lives, because all of us have a tendency that's sort of built into us to, if we're not careful, to veer towards toward a sinful choice. You know, it's kind of like that shopping cart that I always talk about at the grocery store that's got one wheel that doesn't go the right way. Or a car that's out of alignment. Today I had a dead battery and a dead dishwasher, and I couldn't get out of my house tonight because there was food in front of the door and I couldn't get the door open. I said, you know, all these spiritual attacks, you know, the stuff that we all get. And the tendency is to begin, we tend toward selfishness, toward self-centeredness. And it's part of the fallen nature of our human condition. And we can just see it by looking at the newspaper. But Mary somehow did not share in that. She could not share in that because God, by his very nature, cannot sin. If God could sin, he would not be God. It would be an offense against himself. So somehow, Mary had to have been preserved from that tendency toward original sin. How could that be done before Christ saved us? She has to be saved like everyone else. How does this happen? This was the church knew that somehow Mary had been especially chosen, but what that was and how that happened is something that even now is a mystery, but has been pondered over the centuries. When Pope Pius the Ninth declared infallibly that Mary was immaculately conceived, the church had believed that for centuries. It's hard to explain. Our Lord, prior to Mary's birth, Mary was preserved at the moment of conception from original sin by virtue of Christ's dying and resurrection from the dead, which happened in the future. But for God, there is no time. God could apply the salvation that Christ would win to Mary beforehand so that she would be able to be preserved from original sin. And what all of that means is that God created all of us to be free of sin, but most of us have to work it out through the mystery of our lives and have to be washed by Christ's blood through the Eucharist, through confession, and through our own death and then later resurrection from the dead. Mary had to have shared in that earlier in order to bear Christ. Now, when this dogma was proclaimed, many people in the Catholic Church did not know what that meant or understand it. And we come to the mystery of Lourdes in France. Saint Bernadette had a vision of Lourdes in the 1850s, and she was a very ignorant girl. She was probably the most ignorant person that ever received a vision. And after a while, she came to the parish priest, and the priest didn't believe her any more than I would. If one of you came to me and said, I was seeing the Virgin Mary, I'd be very skeptical, and that's the way that I'm supposed to be. Well, she came to the priest, and the priest finally said to her, go ask this lady what her name is, because Bernadette had been saying the lady. She never asked her, and Mary never said who she was. So she asked the lady what her name was, and Mary did not answer that question for several more visits. And then one day, Bernadette asked her again, and Mary opened her hands, and she looked up to heaven briefly, and she said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Well, what this did was, she went all the way home to the parish priest, saying over and over again, "Immaculate Conception, Immaculate Conception," because she'd never heard the words, didn't know what they meant. And in fact, she kind of botched it a little bit by the time she got home, because it was a hard thing for her. And the priest, this had only been declared 3 years earlier, couldn't believe that Bernadette had said this. And it was partly on that basis that the church began to understand that this really was something that Mary had said, and that God had permitted to show us that we're on the right track. Now, all of us are meant to imitate what Mary has, which is a perfect acceptance of the will of God. And all of this feast is intended for us to understand that. I think that it's not an accident that this is the patronal feast of the United States. A lot of people in this country do not know how things really are. I like to think a phrase that the world is not the way it appears to be. God chooses the lowest, the lowliest, and the least known to exalt to the highest places. The people who are in first place in this world probably won't be in the next one. And Mary is a perfect example of that. I believe that our Lord has preserved our nation from all sorts of awful things and has helped us and guided us by the prayers of the faithful, and particularly through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why it's so important that we're here to pray today. We who understand the nature of how things are, that there really is a God in heaven, that His Son, Jesus Christ, really saved us, that He had a mother, and that she prays for us, just as our own mothers will pray for us, whether living or dead. And so this feast day reminds us that we have people that pray for us and that care for us. We, for our part, are called to respond to that grace by, like Mary in the Gospel today, saying, she said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." So letting Mary have the last word, we say with her, "Lord, may everything that you wish be done according to your word."